It's the Nahum Segal Network live lunch from Teaneck. Thanks to our friends at Kedem and for sponsoring our presentation today. And this is a wonderful moment for us. We spoke about a prominent guest list today. And we do have. We've proven that so far, and we're going to prove it again until 1 o'clock. We've spoken about a prominent guest list, but I never expected that we'd come to Teaneck and we'd be able to speak directly, face-to-face in this COVID era with Rabbi Stephen Przanski, who, of course, is the outgoing rabbi of Congregation B'nai Yeshurun here in Teaneck, New Jersey. Rabbi Przanski is heading to Israel, but today he's with us here at the Nahum Segal Network. Rabbi Przanski, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's a big surprise.
Are you kidding? It's great to have you on. Wonderful speaking to you on the air.
The prestigious guests follow me, you should know.
I had a feeling you might say something like that. You have been the rabbi of B'nai Yeshurun since what year?
Since 1994.
Wow, it's quite a
26 years.
That's quite a that's quite a long time ago. And now the plan is, based on what we've heard, that in the month of July, you are actually moving to Israel. Would that be the accurate way of saying it?
Thank God, July 20th, we have our flight confirmed, my wife and myself, and we're looking forward.
An unusual time to be doing anything, especially moving to Israel.
Yes, I announced the shul almost exactly 18 months ago, that come July 2020, we're making Aliyah. And it's been, so the first 15 of those months, everything proceeded.
Relatively normal.
Normally, completely normally. And the last 3 months, the whole world's been upended.
Yeah. Did that change your plans at all? Has anything been affected in terms of schedule because of COVID-19?
It didn't change the plans. We had a few anxious moments because I sent in all our information, my passports and everything, and the Jewish agency had closed.
Never got there.
It's actually a great story. I never got there. The post office was completely unhelpful, and then I deduced on my own that if it was going to the Jewish agency, it would have to be in the same zip code as the post office there.
Right.
I looked it up. There were two post offices, one a small one in Tudor City, the other one, Grand Central Station. My wife and I went Friday afternoon. It was a few days before Pesach. From Teaneck to Midtown, took 20 minutes. No traffic.
Nobody around.
Parked. I went inside, just four people. And sure enough, one very nice postal worker went back. She was spent maybe 15, 20 minutes in the back and came out with my whole packet.
Retrieved the whole thing?
Retrieved the whole thing.
Wow.
After Pesach, I sent that to the consulate. They had taken the place of the Jewish agency. I FedExed it on a Wednesday, received it on Thursday. On Sunday morning, I got word from Nefesh B'Nefesh, they stopped issuing visas.
Oh.
Next visa will be issued on July 1st. 2 days later, I got my visa in the mail.
Explain that.
Welcome to Israel.
Exactly. You'll be going through a lot of those experiences
That's
coming
correct.
Up. But so Baruch Hashem, so now we're back on schedule.
Back, everything's on track, and that was the date, July 20th. And
have you told your congregation where you'll be living in Israel, or is that something you'd like to keep secret from everybody?
No. We're very upfront. In the past, we've been in Modi'in now over a decade, and some people have visited us there. Actually, it's a tremendous bracha that in the shul where I was davening in Modi'in, we have about 15 to 20 B'nai Yeshurun children.
Wow.
Living in Modi'in, who daven in that shul. So I get to see a good number of them almost every Shabbos when I'm there.
Very nice. Normally, I would guess there would have been, or maybe there still is a plan to have, some type of gala dinner in your honor as you leave town and head to Israel. Other things, including what would have been, I would assume, a packed Shabbos in the shul where there'd be a final address from the rabbi. Is anything like that happening?
They had a lot of plans. In place of the gala dinner, there's this. And if I walk and get a bagel, then we're yotze.
That's
we're covered
it.
With everything.
This is our responsibility to fill in for the gala dinner?
This is it.
I was not told by Joey Bodner.
Bagel and tuna, that suffices, yeah.
But what's really happening?
Right. They're planning to buy the Shabbos, and there's a big drive-by on Sunday. So they planned the dinner. They planned a lot of things. Things had to be canceled because of Corona.
So your sanctuary is open this Shabbos?
We were open last Shabbos.
Already last Shabbos.
Yeah, we had a nice crowd, right. 40 people, everyone right. masked and distanced.
Will you miss being in that holy room? Will you miss being at the front of that congregation?
Absolutely. See, the thing with the mask is that now you don't know who's going up for the Amid, so you're sending up the wrong people. No, for sure, I'll miss it. There's a lot of wistfulness. You know, it's a very nostalgic time for me also. I've been there a long time, over 26 years.
You and know, if it is 26 years, you've probably officiated at the bris, bar mitzvah, and wedding of some of your members.
There have been a good number of people that
I've been. Which is pretty
cool. Yeah. Yeah, you know, they used to say about the rabbinate, you hatch them, latch them, and dispatch them. You're there for the bris, the wedding, and unfortunately...
The end, right.
But no, we've been to some people, the big three, I've been there, and it's actually, you know, to be at a bris of someone and then to be at the bris of his child over 20 years later, that's a special zchut.
In this world, and Rabbi Przanski is with us, of course, outgoing rabbi of Congregation B'nai Yeshurun, here at the Nachum Segal Network as we visit Teaneck, courtesy of our friends at Kedem. In this world of 2020, I think I could state accurately that it is much more of a politically correct world than 1994 was when you started in this town. Would that be accurate, first of all, to put it that way?
That is true. I never really followed the trends, though.
You know, right.
I was always more of an independent thinker, but today, absolutely correct.
With that in mind, would you recommend to a young rabbi, especially an opinionated young rabbi, that he has to keep that in his mind going forward all the time?
Yes, but a qualified yes, because every rabbi... Really, in any profession, you have to do the job as you see fit. And I always felt, myself personally, that if I couldn't engage in the rabbinate in the way I wanted to, I'd go back to being a lawyer. You know, I was a lawyer before.
Right.
I remember a few years into the process, I was against Oslo, and it wasn't politically correct to be against Oslo, even in Bergen County at the time. And I remember someone said to me, you're not going to last in the shul. So I said, first of all, it's not true, but I said, you know what? Let's say I leave the shul, I go back to law, I make more money working fewer hours. So, all right, it's not exactly a curse.
And not doing funerals.
And not doing funerals as well, right. So it's not exactly a curse, but if I couldn't do it my way, I wouldn't want to do it. So I would say to a rabbi, you have to keep your eye on the prize. You know, you can't offend people, but you have to speak ideas. You have to challenge people. And you're correct. In an age where people don't want to be challenged, they want to be validated, it's a much more hazardous profession.
They want the opinions that the media has brainwashed them with to be validated.
Right. Well, they want to hear what they believe, true or false, validated and confirmed.
Right.
To have to think a little out of the box, so the younger generation is not so keen on that, but nonetheless, that's the job of the rabbinate.
Right. One of the I'm sorry, you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, just to tell people what they want to hear, you're not really,
right.
You know, I've always told people in B'nai Yeshurun, and I think it won't be a surprise to many people, I prefer arguing with people who don't agree with me than talking to people who do agree
with
me.
Like a true scholar and academic.
I can't learn from people who agree with
Correct.
Me. Only from them. I have to sharpen my arguments also. Right.
But you also want the people on the other side to be respectful and engaged.
For sure.
Engage in a real conversation,
yeah,
not just a shouting match.
Thank God, even in the shul, I've always had that. In the outside world, you know, social media, you know, when I started, there was no social media.
Right.
So I have all these anonymous clowns who can say whatever they want about you, hide behind their identity, and just attack you, but they don't engage the idea. It's all personality.
All right, we got 2 minutes.
I always avoided that.
I got to get to one thing here. One of the things I regret, I've loved having you on the air, loved our conversations on Tanakh, especially when you've written about Tanakh.
Right.
And I think once in a while I got you on, especially early on when you've written certain articles. I love reading how you vent about certain topics through your writings. And they are amazing, and they're historically accurate and really well written. Like you need my
Thank you.
On this. But I need to ask you your impressions when you see statues being attacked and coming down now in this country.
Yeah, it's sad because it's a destruction of history. You know, there's a big picture of me outside B'nai Yeshurun now that the farewell committee put up. All right, I'm afraid a week after I'm gone, they'll tear it down like I'm Stonewall Jackson.
Is that the fear, Rabbi? You may want to install a camera so you can check it out from both ends.
24/7 camera to see that it's still there. I don't know how long they'll keep it there.
And this is with the Bodners across the street. You're worried about this?
Forget Jackson. They could treat me like Theodore Roosevelt.
That's right. But
it's sad.
And that's it. And for those who think it's anything other than trying to eliminate anything that's happened till today. That's what it is. Right. That's the effort, right?
So when this first started 3 years, I wrote an article about it, and I said, you know what? Why don't all Jews cringe going down the FDR Drive?
Right.
The guy did nothing to help Jews and was a known anti-Semite.
Right.
Peter Stuyvesant was a known bar Jews.
Sort of like when we tell the BDS people why you're using an iPhone when so much of it is Israeli technology.
Right. So I'll tell you my approach. I was in Rome a few years ago, and there's a big statue of Hadrian in the Pantheon and other Rishayim, all right? And I looked at that, and I did not have an inclination to tear it down. My first thought was, we won.
That's right. We prevailed. That's
okay? So why people can't have that, it's really about power and not ideas or knowledge. But I looked at those statues and I said, we won. Anachnu ninatzeach gam latid.
And that's the attitude we all should have.
That's correct.
Mazal tov to you.
Thank you very much.
You are joining thousands that have finally made the move to go to Israel.
It's a big dream, but thank you very much.
A pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for a wonderful surprise also.
And a big thank you to Joey Bodner for facilitating this wonderful reunion.
Now, didn't you want me to sing something?
I think that's someone else's responsibility,
All right, we'll get to that. Anyway, Nachum, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Hope to listen from Israel.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
You.